Everyone understands a brush with one's own mortality can be a life-changing experience. The degree to which it can change a life and the intensity of that change is the province of our next guest. Diane Corcoran is a nurse, an educator, a PhD, a retired U.S. Army colonel, and the president of the International Association for Near-Death Studies. She joins us now. Diane, welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Now, your organization refers to this as an NDE, but I understand that is a controversial term. Tell me about the term. How do you define it?
Well, I don't think it's controversial. It just might be that it's not exactly accurate now. When Raymond Moody coined the phrase near-death experience in the mid-70s, he did it because he had been using heart patients, and that's what he was used to. But we describe it as a profound psychological event that has a pattern of certain characteristics, and people might have one or seven or all 15, but not necessarily be near death.
All right, well, let's talk about your operation here. What does IANDS do for both those who have had NDEs or PPEs as well as their families?
Well, IANS is an organization that's there. We really are there to provide group support. We have groups all over the country, and individual support, and as the main place to get accurate and professional information. People come to groups around the country to learn about their experience, to understand the ramifications for it. And we do quite a bit of that kind of support over the phone or through email as well.
Well, that brings us to sort of the core area here. What is learnable from the study of such experiences?
Well, many things certainly are learnable. I think the number one thing that we hear from most people is after they've had an NDE, they are really not afraid of dying. They've sort of felt like they've been there and they've come back and not an issue for them. We certainly unlock lots of the mysteries of consciousness. In this day and age, there's a great deal of research out there on consciousness, and NDEs is a central figure to that research. It's also very helpful for people who go on to have certain after effects, and they will, it's a meaningful impact and a significant change in their life after this experience, and this includes children as well.
Now, I get the impression, and I wonder if you could support me on this, that there is a certain degree of commonality among people who have this kind of experience.
That's correct. We have about 15 or so characteristics. You might have one, you might have 10, and they're the same pretty much around the universe. And they might be the sense of having an out-of-body experience where you might be looking at your body from someplace above, a sense of relief from pain at the point that that takes place. Many, there are about 15, rapid movement through darkness. Some people will call this the tunnel, an indescribable light, loving light, understanding a purpose, a flood of knowledge about things that they didn't know before. And many of these things they bring back, both knowledge and sometimes skills that they didn't have previously.
Well, Diane, it's a fascinating subject. Thank you very much for joining us here and telling us about your work in it.
You're very welcome. I hope we can help many people who are out there.
Diane Corcoran is president of the International Association for Near-Death Studies. We reached her by phone in Durham, North Carolina, and they are on the web at www.iands.org.
My name is Michaela. I'm 30 years old, and when I was 17, I was involved in a serious car accident. Just to give you a brief overview of the car accident, we were coming home from family vacation. I was in the back seat of the car sleeping, and for whatever reason, I still today do this. I sleep with my hands over my head. So we were following a tractor trailer carrying farm equipment, and it was going very slow. My mom had her four-way flashers on. We were going maybe 20 miles an hour up a steep hill, and a 16-year-old girl who had her license for a week and a half tried to pass us on a non-passing zone, and there was another car coming. She hit us at about 80 miles an hour when we were going 20. The tractor trailer in front of us didn't have a bumper, and so we went under the tractor trailer, and it drug us for about a football field. since we were on our way back from vacation, we had luggage in the trunk, and the luggage went under the seat and pushed the seat up, and the roof came down. So we went up and cracked our heads off the roof. I had a severe closed head injury. My eyelid was torn out, like my eyebrow was up here. My arm went through the back windshield. My bicep was cut in half, and I was in a coma. I don't remember the accident, but I do remember the life flight when they were putting me on a helicopter to take me to the airport. I opened my eyes because I could feel the wind, but I thought it was dreaming, so I went back to sleep. And then I didn't wake up again for 7 days. They induced another coma because I was going crazy, and it was supposed to only be in the coma for maybe 24 to 48 hours, and I didn't wake up. I flatlined, and I ended up being in the coma for a total of about 14 days. When I was flatlined, I remember being surrounded by a white, fuzzy light, and I was being held. Someone was hugging me. I couldn't see that person, but I knew I was with God or my higher power. I felt very pleasant. I wasn't afraid. It was very comforting. Actually, it was probably the best feeling that I've ever felt in my life, in my death. I felt my best feeling. And I was just kind of so content there that I wanted to just go to that place. I wanted to be with that feeling, and just as I was about to go, just you hear all the time people say, your life flashes before your eyes. Well, my life flashed before my eyes. It wasn't really what I expected. I didn't see actual people or physical things. It was more of the essence of everything, but it was very clear. I saw me with my grandchildren. I don't even have children yet. I saw me when I was younger doing things that I loved to do and playing and dancing and people I loved, and it was all about the love. It was all about the love. And I knew that if I went to that place, I would be okay, but I would never have this life again. And I loved this life and I loved to live, so I started fighting and crying and praying, please God, don't make me die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And I fought and fought. And I remember colors flashing, like the white turned into red and green and blue, and it was flashing. And I was just, I fought harder than I ever had in my life. And then I felt all at once like I was being sucked through outer space. It was just like, so then I ended up in the corner of my hospital room, looking at my body and seeing all my family sitting around, upset. And I tried to tell them, for some reason I had special powers that I could move around in this form. So I would go over to my family and my boyfriend at the time, who was 16, and I would say, I'm okay, you know, and I'd try to comfort them, but they couldn't hear me, and I was so annoyed by that. And then I would get bored and I would go in my body for a little while, and it would get too much. It would be too much pain, and so I would come back out. I got pretty comfortable being in that form. I would say, now that I think back on it, I was probably in and out of my body for about a week and a half. I would go to different rooms. My parents didn't believe anything that I was saying until I woke up one night, and I went into my mom's room, and I said, Mom, when I was in a coma upstairs, were you and Dad and Grandma down in the cafeteria, and Dad said this, and you said this, and Grandma stood up, and this happened? And my mom just looked at me in awe and was like, how do you know that? And I said, I was there. She couldn't believe it. I knew word for word exactly what happened. And I was like, I just remembered I was there, because things came back to me over time. And I mean, it's been 13 years, so I'm getting pretty comfortable with it at this point, but it took a while for me to really understand. I was in the hospital for about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks maybe, and they told me that I could go home. And so I thought, or they told me I was leaving, actually, is what it was, and I thought I was going home. And then they put me on an ambulance, and my mom was on the ambulance with me, and my dad and my brother were driving behind, and I looked at my mom and I said, "Where am I going?" Because I just wanted to go home and sleep in my own bed and make my own toast and do everything myself, because I was sick of everybody doing everything for me. And she said, "We're going to a rehab center where you can learn how to walk and talk and think and do your hair and play games and take tests." I had to learn all this stuff over again. And I looked at my mom, because up until that point, I would ask what happened and they would tell me, and then 5 seconds later I would ask again. It didn't sink in. I said, "I'm really bad, huh?" And she just started crying. She said, "Yeah, honey, you're really bad." And I said, I was comforting my mother. I said, "Don't worry, Mom, I'll get better soon." And so I went to the rehab center. I was supposed to be there for a month, but I ended up getting released early. I got released in like 2 weeks. And when I left the hospital, they thought that I wasn't gonna walk ever again. They thought I was either gonna die or be paralyzed for the rest of my life. And so I'm happy to say I'm here, and I love this life, and I'm glad I'm here sharing it all with you. And hopefully my story and all of our stories will help other people have a little bit of a happier life. Thank you.